I'm going to read a poem to start from John Donohue. When the mind is festering with trouble or the heart torn, we find healing among the silence of the mountains or fields, or listen to the simple steadying rhythm of waves. The slowness and the stillness gradually takes us over. Our breathing deepens and our hearts calm and our hungers relent. When serenity is restored, new perspectives open up to us and difficulty can begin to seem like an invitation to new growth. This invitation to friendship with nature does, of course, entail a willingness to be alone out there. Yet this aloneness is anything but alone. Solitude clarifies the heart until a true tranquility is reached. The irony is that at the heart of that, you feel intimately connected with the world. Indeed, the beauty of nature is often the wisest balm, for it gently relieves and releases the caged mind. So I'm in a season of exploration and questioning, and I think I've been in this season for a very long time. Some people don't like my questions, but I believe that they're necessary to work through who I am and who God is in my life. So I'll just share a little bit of what I've been finding out, I guess. Life is full of experiences, and I believe we need to learn through those experiences, and we need to have an attitude of openness and a willingness to change. And I think that's very healthy for us. We need to question our doubts, and we need to question what's going on in our lives. And finding that place of stillness and awe for me, to do life amongst the paradox and contradictions there are, is sometimes all you can do. One of the positive things for me that came out of COVID, and yes, I'm going to talk a little bit about COVID, we were locked down a bit more than you people in the regional area because I'm in that big smoke of Sunbury. So there was times when I felt very caged in. But that also gave me time to do some of the things that I really enjoy doing that I never quite get around to doing. And one of them's gardening and one of them's journaling. So I like to grow my own veggies. And one day, when I was out in the backyard on my own, I looked up on the fence and I saw this blob sitting on the fence. We have this big eucalypt tree next door and the branches just overwhelm our fences. So I was peering between these branches trying to see what it was there sitting on the fence. I couldn't quite make out what it was. And all of a sudden, this head turned around and it was a tawny frog mouth. Some people don't know them as owls, but an owl, if you know what I mean. Well, I was just in awe and I was amazed. And you can imagine the amount of joy that just overwhelmed me. It was just a lovely, wonderful thing to see. And I'm very grateful to God for those little things in life that just overwhelm you. This owl and all of the creation of life is God's creation, and he did it in the most incredible way. It's such a web of life, and you probably all know how everything's linked to one another. Now, in my gardening experiences, I try to grow a lot of things from seed, and I guess that being in COVID, I had a little bit more time to experiment with this. So my pea seeds, my bean seeds, they went into the ground and I thought, yes, as I saw them growing, growing, growing. But then those pesky snails and earwigs came and ate them, didn't they? And it took me time and time again to realise I really needed to grow them in pots and get them about that big and allow the snails to eat some, but have some for myself. I needed to learn about perseverance But I also needed to appreciate that these snails and these pesky things in life have a reason to live. They're part of the web of life. Those snails are decomposters, and they also are food for crows and lizards and ducks. And some of my permaculture friends would say that you don't have a snail problem, you have a duck deficiency. So God created this wonderful planet. The way the natural world lives in relationship with the planet is just, I'm in awe of it. It lifts my spirit and it's a place where I find joy. And I know that God asks us to be good stewards of this planet, and we honour him when we do that. So the other thing I found time to do is to journal. And I journal about the garden, but I also journal about my faith and the questions I have in my faith. And I know that for some people journaling can be difficult. And it was for me to start with, because I'm not a scholar. Putting pen to paper can be quite difficult for me. But I have some friends that have really encouraged me. And I found that as I just put words on the page, they grew. And it was a place to explore, it was a place to grow, a place to really get to know myself and my faith and my God. A long time ago, in the 16th century in fact, there was a chap named Martin Luther. And Luther questioned his faith. He struggled at the thought of coming before God with sin. And for him, sin was abhorrent. As much as he tried, he couldn't be sinless. And he actually got quite depressed over this. Because at the time, you couldn't question your faith. You couldn't question the clergy. You didn't have anyone to support you in those questions. The Bible was written in Latin. The church was in charge of the state. And you did as you were told. And quite often, if you didn't, you would be beheaded. So it wasn't something that was encouraged. The church was quite corrupt. To have your sins forgiven, you would often have to pay in some way. And if it wasn't through your actions, it might be in money, because the church wanted to build a new cathedral and it needed your money to do that. It was really very corrupt. But interesting, Luther was working through his ideas and writing them down at the time when the printing press was developed. So it gave him an opportunity to spread those ideas, and it was an opportunity then to challenge the church, not just for him to challenge the church, but for others to see. Because the common people, of course, couldn't read Latin and could only do as they were told. Over time, as people learnt to read, this sort of undermined the unethical stance of the church. Now, I'm telling you this because there's a lot of church history. There's a lot that's gone on before us, and not all of it is great. The good things come out of those things, though, and the Protestant movement actually came out of Luther's questioning. So there were changes made. It did take a long time, but there were changes made. It's normal to question, and it's normal to doubt. And I believe that God has given us the ears and the eyes to see, to ask those questions. And we should have permission to be in that place. And it's great to have good friends around us to help us with those questions. A good friend of mine was recently struggling with discrepancies in the Bible. And he was saying, you know, there's two stories of Genesis. There's four stories in the Gospel. He's saying, how can I work it out? What's right? What's true? What's factual? What have I got to hold on to with all these discrepancies? But the truth of it is that the Bible is full of contradictions. It's full of paradox. And I believe that it's been written that way. I believe that that's an invitation for you to get involved in the Bible and to read them for yourself and to work out the truths of the Bible, what we need to hold as core truth, and what we need to hold loosely to help us to know the character of God, which is sort of forever changing because we're forever changing and seeing God in a new light. So I think that's a healthy place to be, To learn to explore and allow these stories and interpretations of the Bible to be taken into account, allow God to reveal himself in a new way. I've sort of said that, haven't I? Now, these revelations that we find in the Bible, a bit like the revelations I find in the garden about how to grow my beans, can bring joy into our lives. They're a place where we need to be still and we need to allow God to speak into our lives. Sometimes we get caught up in life, and I do, in the shadow side of life, and John shared an aspect of that today. And it really can get me down when I think about all the things going wrong in this world. And I wonder where God is. But I find that in my own journey, that if I sit in the place where I find life abundant, this web of life that is just amazing, helps me to hold on to that joy and hope that God does bring into our life. And sometimes it's just in the small things, isn't it, that we do find that hope and that love, despite all the other stuff going on in life. So my prayer is for you and me to see beyond what's going on in the here and now to the joy and the life that God has given us in abundance.